It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
As many of you know, Alan Young passed away at a retirement home for actors in Los Angeles last week as this program is being recorded. And those of you who are not familiar with his radio work will remember that Alan Young was a sitcom star in the 1960s on the program Mr. Ed. Alan Young was the man who owned Mr. Ed the Talking Horse. Today we'll listen to some of his radio work. He was born in England and moved to Canada after World War II. Eddie Cantor discovered him on the Canadian Broadcasting Company, and he was hired by Eddie to MC a summer replacement show on the network for the Eddie Cantor Show. It was called Wednesdays with You. We weren't able to find an episode of Wednesdays with You with Alan Young in it, so we're going to go straight to the Eddie Cantor Show with Alan Young and Hildegard from 1945. Here it is.
Bristol Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, and Touché, the beforehand lotion, present the Eddie Cantor Show with Alan Young, Burt Gordon, the Mad Russian, Selma Carpenter, Leonard Sue's Orchestra, yours truly, Kenny Delmar, pinch hitting for Harry Von Zell, and starring Eddie Cantor.
Yay! Hiya, Kenny Delmar.
Eddie, how do you like this weather we're having in New York?
It's really freezing, isn't it? Nowadays, when LaGuardia goes to a fire, it's to keep warm.
Well, I can believe that.
Yeah, here's something else you can believe, Kenny. I was over in Central Park tonight before the show.
Yeah.
And I heard a sailor complaining about the cold wave.
The cold wave?
Yeah, so we finally left her and sat next to a warm wax.
Well, one thing about New York is not even a blizzard can keep them from their Christmas shopping.
You're right, Kenny. I walked by Saks Department Store this afternoon, and you should have seen the mob outside trying to get in. All that push. A mounted policeman rode around the block twice before he realized he didn't have his horse under him.
It was that bad.
Honestly, Kenny Delmar, I tried to get into the store myself to get Ida a Christmas present. And it was really murder. Everybody pushing and shoving and push. So I forgot about Saks, and I went to Tiffany's. More pushing and shoving. I finally had to go to Woolworths to do my shopping.
But, Eddie, the crowds are even bigger at Woolworths.
Kenny, a little pushing and shoving never hurt anybody.
I judge by that you've been to all the stores, Eddie.
Yes, and the way those women choppers maul you and kick you around. I'm convinced of one thing. They shouldn't hang a single war criminal.
They shouldn't?
No, they should wrap them up in nylon stockings and put them on a counter in Klein's basement.
Well, I understand that Macy's are having various movie stars play Santa Claus in their toy department.
That's right, Kenny. This morning at Macy's, guess what? Lauren Bacall put on a beard and played Sandy. Isn't that a little silly? I mean, when you sit on Lauren Bacall's lap and she asks you what you'd like to have for Christmas, how are you going to tell her? You know, it's funny how you can fool those little kids. One little kid was sitting on Lauren Bacall's lap for a half hour. He kept calling her Santa Claus and snuggling up to her. Finally, he leaned over to me and said, "Say, if you see Bogart, come in, whistle, will you?"
Well, Eddie, I'm having a little trouble with my Christmas shopping. I can't seem to get the stuff I want.
You can't, Kenny. Even the department stores can't get the stuff they want. Really, they're in a desperate fix for merchandise. Today, I went into Sears Roebuck, and there were Sears and Roebuck sitting on Santa Claus's lap begging him for an overcoat.
Roebuck.
Yeah, I walked over to them and I said, "Why are you two grown men sitting on Santa Claus's lap?" They said, "So he doesn't get arrested. We can't even get him a pair of pants."
Well, Eddie, look, how does the shortage of civilian clothes affect the boys coming out of the service?
It's terrible. I know one soldier. For 4 years, he dreamed of taking off the khaki suit and putting on a blue serge. The poor fellow, for weeks and weeks, he went looking and couldn't find anything. But yesterday, at last, he got a beautiful blue suit.
Yeah, well, what store did he find it in?
What do you mean, store? The poor guy had to join the Navy. No, Kenny. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Kenny, I enjoy spending Christmas in New York. As you know, I was born and raised here, and I love New York. There's something about it that gets me right here.
Yeah, well, I guess you do it that, Eddie.
Yeah, when it gets around Christmas time, it reminds me when I was a kid on the Lower East Side. Gee, it used to get so cold. They never sent up enough steam in the tenement house. To get warm, I had to keep banging on the pipes.
Did they send up steam?
No. But do you know how you can keep warm? Just banging on the pipes? I felt we needed it. Really, I did.
Well, I could say that's a joke, son.
That's a joke, son. That's a joke, son.
Well, things were a lot different in the old days from what they are now, huh?
Different? Kenny, let me give you an idea what Christmas was like when I was a kid on the Lower East Side of New York.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what do you want?
Merry Christmas.
Hey, your father's mustache. Hey, Kenny.
Yeah?
You want to help me shovel snow? My mother told me to be sure to shovel all the snow from in front of our house.
Yeah, but you've been shoveling snow for an hour. How long do you have to keep shoveling snow?
Till I find the old man.
Eddie, did you hang a stocking up for Christmas?
Yeah, you know something?
What?
It gets chilly taking a bath with only one stocking.
You mean you only got two stockings?
Yeah, how many stockings you got?
Three.
Three? What good's one extra stocking?
Well, my mother uses a clean one to keep the salami from getting stale.
Your mother wraps a stocking around a salami?
Certainly. What does your mother wear around a salami?
Her kisser. And you know what's always wrapped around me mother's kisser?
Yeah, your father's mustache.
Yeah, who told you? Yeah. They're friendly, you know, yeah.
Do you want to go down to the pool room?
Yeah, there's no fun down in the pool room. Somebody swiped all the pool balls.
How do you know somebody swiped all the pool balls?
What do you think I got hanging on me Christmas tree?
You got a Christmas tree, huh?
Yeah.
You got anything to hang on a tree that'll light up?
Yeah.
Yeah, what you got that'll light up?
My father's nose.
Your father's nose don't light up.
It will when we stick his toe in the socket. Hey, come on and help me shovel the snow so as I can get through and go over and see Santa Claus.
Okay. Hey, look what's in the snow. A skunk.
A skunk. Come on, let's hit him with the shovel.
Yeah, let's hit him with the shovel. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Eddie, wait a minute. That ain't no skunk we've been hitting.
What is it?
Your father's mustache.
Hey, Kenny, I shouldn't talk that way.
No.
I'm educated now.
Yeah.
Kenny, I've got a lot of Christmas shopping to do, so get your hat and come along.
Okay, Eddie, I'll be right with you.
In the meantime, we'll turn the program over to Leonard Seuss and Thelma Carpenter. Ladies and gentlemen, Thelma Carpenter singing Symphony.
Symphony. Symphony of love, music from above, how does it start? You walk in, and the song begins, singing violin, start in my heart.
Kenny, will you look at all the women shopping in this department store?
Yeah, that's quite a crowd. Eddie, have you got any idea what Ida's going to give you for Christmas?
I don't even have to open the present. It'll be another box of handkerchiefs. Every year she gives me the same thing over and over again. No variety. Why, if that woman...
Oh, no, Eddie, you mustn't get angry at Ida. She's your wife, a mother.
And remember, she's given you 5 wonderful children.
Yeah, but the same thing over and over, no variety, nothing. The same.
Well, Eddie... Well, that's the way it is, Eddie. Good things call for repetition. I mean, for instance, what I say every Wednesday night about Sal Hepatica can't be said too often. And that is, friends, if you wake up feeling sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative, take sparkling Sal Hepatica. For then, Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. That means you don't have to risk feeling miserable all day waiting until night to take a laxative. And besides quick, gentle relief, sparkling Sal Hepatica gives you the additional advantage of helping to sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity. So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica right away. Remembering this caution, use only as directed. Then whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
It's tough you find your way around the store. Maybe this fella can help us. Say, are you the floor walker?
I am not wearing this rose in my lapel because I was discharged from the American Beauty.
Look, all I want to know is this. Can you help me find the elevator?
Okay, you look on the second floor and I'll look on the third. Nosey.
Come on, Kenny, this guy's no help. We'll just
walk. Wait a minute, Eddie. Look at that poor man over there. He's crying.
Yeah, we'd better talk to him. What's the matter, mister?
Did you see a little 8-year-old boy around here?
No, why?
I told him not to let go of my hand. Now I'm lost.
You were with an 8-year-old boy and you're lost?
Yeah, he was taking me to see Santa Claus.
Oh, fine. Look, if you're lost, you should go to some man and tell him where you live.
I did. I went to him in. I told him I lived in room 305 at the Pennsylvania Hotel.
Didn't he take you home?
No, he went up and rented my room.
Well, no room. That must be very inconvenient.
Oh, that's nothing.
What do you mean, nothing?
I went to Niagara Falls on my honeymoon and couldn't get a room.
Oh, what a disappointment. I feel sorry for your poor wife.
Oh, she got a room. I just couldn't get one for myself.
You think with all that water at Niagara Falls, there'd be room for one more drip? Say, tell me, what are you doing in this department store? What did you come to see Santa Claus for?
My dog doesn't have a tail, and I wanted Santa Claus to bring him something he could wear in its place.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What could your dog wear for a tail?
Your father's mustache.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. Kenny, let's try to get our shopping done as quickly as we can, huh?
Yeah, Eddie, I was just looking at these flannel pajamas. We ought to get a pair. This weather's been so cold.
No, Kenny, I don't need flannel pajamas. Would you believe it? During this cold spell, I've kept warm just by staying between two covers.
You kept warm by staying between two covers?
Yeah, I'm reading Forever Amber.
Oh, Eddie.
Kenny, will you excuse me for a minute? I want to talk to a friend of mine. Look who's over at that next counter.
Who, Eddie?
Well, that great young radio comedian. Hello, Alan Young. Say, Alan, what are you doing here in Macy's with all these Christmas shoppers?
Well, I didn't intend to come here, Mr. Cantor. I was standing on the corner and the light changed.
Yeah?
A lot of women pushed me all the way in here.
They did?
Yeah. Some fun, eh?
I want you to know, Alan, I enjoy hearing you on the radio every week, and I think you're swell.
Oh, Mr. Cantor, you don't know how I wish I was a star like you. Always in big shows and pictures with a lot of beautiful girls. Every time I see those beautiful girls, I wish I was Cantor.
Well, Alan, every time I see those beautiful girls, I wish I was young. Brother, has she got everything?
Has she? Why do you think I'm crazy about her? Cigarette?
No, thanks. Alan, I remember the first Christmas I was in the Ziegfeld Follies. Mm. I bought Ida a beautiful necklace made out of little silver bells. I was so proud of her. I wanted people to always be able to hear her whenever she came around. Especially me, if I happen to be talking to one of those beautiful girls.
Well, Mr. Cantor, maybe you can help me decide on a Christmas gift for the girl that I'm engaged to.
Well, why don't you get her something that has a personal touch? Something like some beautiful lingerie.
Oh, I wanted to, but I'm too bashful to buy anything like that.
Yeah?
Last night I passed Bloomingdale's, and they were trimming the lady's window. Was I embarrassed?
Embarrassed? Why?
The window trimmer was standing there with his shirt off.
Stop!
Oh, look here, don't be bashful. Now, ask that sales girl over there to show you something in lingerie.
I'd rather ask a man. Gosh, a sales girl. What'll she say to me? Go on over and find out.
Okay. Hello?
Hello.
She said hello. What about the lingerie?
Lingerie? Oh, that didn't say anything.
Look, Alan, you shouldn't be afraid of a thing like this. You gotta have courage.
Courage? You're right. What am I, a man or a mouse?
Well, I'm a mouse. Alan, that sales girl won't bite you. She's anxious to sell lingerie. She'll be only too glad to talk to you. There's nothing to be afraid of.
You're right.
Hello.
Hello.
What's new? Cigarette? No, thanks. Alan, you're being embarrassed is all in your mind. You can talk yourself out of it if you try. Just look at that sales girl. Are you looking at her?
Uh-huh.
Now, tell yourself she's a man. Keep telling yourself she's a man. Are you looking at the same sales girl I'm looking at? Yes. You're being a little silly, aren't you? I'm being a little silly. Alan, I swear to you that I can look right at that girl like I am now, and I guess I am.
It's no use, Eddie. I could tell a man I'd like to see something in lingerie, but a sales girl.
She'll do, Alan. She'll do. Go ahead and get it over with.
Hello again.
Hello. What would you like to see in lingerie?
You'll do.
I'll do what?
I don't know. What would you like to do? Movie? Dance?
Lurch.
No, you can try, but I warn you, I have a girl.
Oh, don't be silly. Now, in ladies' undergarments, we're featuring this lovely set of two-tone pajamas. They're blue on the outside.
Oh, let me look at the inside. Nobody home.
Some of our garments are worn by the Hollywood stars. Here, look at this picture of Lana Turner wearing one of our negligees. Like it?
Yeah, you got any more? Mr. Cantor, you better tell her what I want, huh?
Miss, he wants to buy that beautiful negligee. It's for the girl he hopes to marry.
Yeah, she's going to give me her answer today. I proposed to her last night on bended knee. I bend her arm a little bit, too. But she still wouldn't say yes.
Well, she can't possibly turn you down after you give her a lovely gift like this creation. This is the exact negligee Lana Turner wears. And you can have it for only
$50. $50? Is Lana Turner still in it?
You can wrap that up, miss. The best is none too good for my future wife.
Ah, that brings back memories of the first time I took Ida to a store and bought her her first negligee. The best is none too good. That's exactly what I said.
And, miss, put that in the loveliest gift box you have in the store.
That's exactly what I said.
And here's your $50.
That's exactly what Ida said.
Here's your gift, sir. All wrapped up. Alan.
Oh, Mr. Cantor, it's my girl, Gwendolyn.
Hello, Gwendolyn. Look what I got you. A Christmas present.
A Christmas present? Why, it's beautiful. And, Alan, let me tell you a secret. You can consider this a wedding present.
I can? You mean it?
Yes, I got married this morning.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Cigar?
No! Alan, this is my husband.
Congratulations, sir. And I hope you'll be very happy.
Yeah, and I hope this time I find a room at Niagara Falls.
Hey, Kenny. Kenny, before we go to the toy department, I'd like to stop and get a present for our sponsor. Have you any idea what he would like?
Well, I sent him a Christmas card.
Is that enough to send the sponsor for Christmas?
Ah, but you should hear what I said to him.
What?
Under the tinsel Christmas tree, like Santa Claus, I stand, with a big white beard and a bottle of Truchet in my hand.
Well, there's more Truchet to that than poetry.
The lotion to use beforehand to guard your hands while they do all the tasks a woman's work calls her to do each day. Even in water, hot and soapy, Truchet keeps hands soft and smooth. helps guard against chaps, elbows rough. Truchet's helpful. That's the truth.
Smooth truth? Boy, are you in the groove.
Why, sure, Eddie, every woman should treat herself to a bottle of Truchet for Christmas, because Truchet is the beforehand lotion, a new idea in hand lotions that guards soft, lovely hands even in hot, soapy water.
I know, Kenny, but what about the rest of the sponsor's Christmas card?
And lo, the tinseled Christmas tree, this festive wish inspires a very Merry Christmas to all at Bristol-Myers.
Well, here we are, Kenny, in the toy department.
Look, Eddie, why did you drag me up here?
I wanted to see Santa Claus. There he is over there. Look at him with his white beard and his red and white suit. Hello, Santa Claus.
How do you do?
Bert Gordon, the mad Russian. Say, Russian?
Yeah?
Tell me something. How did this store ever pick you to play Santa Claus?
I am the only man who can play Santa Claus on the 8th floor and sweep the 7th floor at the same time.
How can you do that?
Long beard.
Long beard?
Short left.
Russian, what experience have you had playing Santa Claus?
Why, only last Christmas Eve, to surprise my wife, I dressed up as Santa Claus and came down the chimney.
Was your wife surprised?
No, but you should have seen the look on the milkman.
Russian, yes? Why did you take a job as Santa Claus?
Because I love kiddies.
You do?
Every night when I come home from work, I'm putting my 5 little kiddies on my lap. Those cute little itchy-bitchy kiddies.
Yes.
And after I'm reading them the funny papers, I'm putting them to sleep in the basement.
Well, isn't it cruel? Isn't it cruel to put kiddies to sleep in the basement?
Pussy kiddies.
No! Pussy kiddies.
Yes.
I'm talking about children.
Ah, children. How I love children.
Tell me, you really love children?
Yeah. I wonder why my mother never had them.
Oh, stop clowning. Tell us about your job as Santa Claus.
Well, all day long, mothers bring their little children to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Today it was such fun putting the sweet young things on my lap.
Then you do love children.
Oh, should have put the children on my lap.
No, of course you should have put the children.
Well, Russian,
on
you're really going to be Santa Claus this Christmas?
That is the consensus of my opinion. I am going to be Santa Claus, and Frank Sinatra is going to be my assistant.
He is.
He's going to take care of the poor little children who have no chimneys.
Russian, how is Frank Sinatra going to take care of the poor little children who have no chimneys?
He can go down the drainpipe.
No! Oh, stop being ridiculous, will you?
Well, yes, Russian.
That's absurd, isn't it?
How can Frank Sinatra play Santa Claus? He's so thin. What in the world could he tie around his stomach to make him look fat enough?
You ever see his bang book?
Russian, listen.
Yes?
Russian, if you're on the level about being Santa Claus, tell me, what are you going to bring me this Christmas?
On Christmas Eve, you just go to sleep, and while you're sleeping, I will place a present under your blanket that will certainly tickle you.
What?
Your father's mustache.
Oh, get out of here, Russian. Get out of here. Get out. Kenny, I got what I've been looking for. Yo-yo, a set of trains.
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. Look who's coming into the store. Isn't that... Why, of course, the star of the Raleigh Room, Hildegard.
Hildegard. Why, Hildegard, you look wonderful tonight. Here, let me take your coat.
No, thanks, Eddie. If I leave the coat on, it'll help me keep warm.
Yeah, I know, but if you take it off, it'll help us keep warm. That was a joke. I fixed it up some way. Say, look. Say, that's a lovely fur neck piece you're wearing. Is it mink?
No.
Is it sable?
No.
Well, what is it made of?
Your father's mustache.
Well, on you, he looks good.
Eddie, you know, I'm awfully happy that I've met you here. I have some boys on my Christmas shopping list, and I hope you can help me select gifts for them.
Lily, I'm very good at that. Look at these lovely things I just bought for a boy. A yo-yo and a set of electric trains.
Oh, that's wonderful. How old is the boy?
I'll be 54 next month.
Oh, Eddie, you don't understand. These boys are very dear friends of mine.
Well, who are they, Hildy?
I've never met most of them, but I know who they are, because they're the lads who made it possible for you and for me to enjoy a Christmas at peace this year.
Oh, the wounded heroes in the Army and Navy hospital.
Yes, Eddie. Like 20 million other Americans, I'm giving a gift to to a Yank who gave.
That's wonderful, Hildegard.
Wonderful? Not really, Eddie. Personally, I think it's just paying a little interest on a debt we owe to every one of them.
You put that very well. And ladies and gentlemen, if every person listening tonight would go out tomorrow and just buy one extra gift for those men who gave that extra share, there wouldn't be a lonely man in a hospital ward on Christmas Day. If you make your purchase in a drug or department store, just ask the clerk to deliver it for you, or take your package to any American Legion post. Together with 5,000 department stores, 60,000 drugstores, and the American Legion post and their auxiliaries, you and I can make Christmas a little brighter for those sick and wounded veterans just by giving a gift to a Yank who gave.
A good idea, Eddie. But I have another one.
What's that, Hildegard?
Oh, there's one gift the boys on the Purple Heart Circuit enjoy from you always. Right now, why don't you sing them that cute song you sang at Valley Forge Hospital?
Oh, you think they'd like that?
Oh, yes, Eddie. And as for me?
Yes?
I'll go off and finish my Christmas shopping.
Well, thanks and goodbye, and thank you, Hildegard. Every once in a while, a crazy tune comes along. You go wild till you learn the crazy little song. Like the music goes round and round. Whoa, what a song. And the three little fishies in the itty-bitty pool had you talking like you never went to school. And the hot tub rolls and rill-a-raw. And a brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a-brawl-a
really knew it. And could you ever forget the silly, rambling little notes of a number called Mazzy Doe? They were all such crazy tunes, as I recall. But it took a little chicken to write the craziest song of all. Chickory chick, chala chala, chakalarome, in a banana, kabalaka, wallaka, can't you see? Chickory chick is me. Chickory chick, chala chala, chakalarome, in a banana, kabalaka, wallaka, can't you see? Chickory chick is me. Every time you're sick and tired of just the same old thing, saying just the same old words all day. Be just like the chicken who found something new to sing. Open up your mouth and start to say, oh, chickory chick, chala chala, chakalarome, in a banana, kabalaka, wallaka, can't you see? Chickory chick is me. Chickory chick. Chickalaromi. Wallaka wallaka, can't you see? Chick, 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 chick. Chickory chick is me.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and good night.
The Eddie Cantor Show is written by Robert O'Brien and Irvin Ellison. The cold season is on, as if you didn't know. But do you know about Minute Rub, a really modern chest rub? Why, Minute Rub gets to work on that uncomfortable cold misery in a hurry and helps bring relief really fast. All you do is rub Minute Rub on your throat, chest, and back, and presto, in just a minute, Minute Rub gets to work and begins to help relieve that clogged up feeling in the nose and throat, starts to bring a feeling of warmth and comfort to those tight, sore chest muscles. And because Minute Rub is greaseless and stainless, it can't stain clothes or bed linen. So get a jar of Minute Rub and get relief from annoying cold misery the modern way, the greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Next, we'll hear an episode of Command Performance with guest Alan Young. This is from 1947. And this program was made for the soldiers, sailors, airmen, mainly World War II. They could request whatever they wanted of the Hollywood actors and singers, and Hollywood turned out to provide their service in the war effort by making this program and many other things, of course, bond drives and so forth. So this is an episode of Command Performance, and it's from 1947.
Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Yes, indeed, gang, it's another half-hour hunk of top talent and tunes entitled Command Performance. 30 scintillating minutes of the top talent and tunes ordered in your letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And here to pilot tonight's production is that genial gent with a sparkling personality, Bouncing Bill Goodwin.
Thank you. All that for me? Well, fellas, I don't know a better way to get a show started than with music. And I don't know a better way to get some real musical music than to fill an order from Seaman First Class Don Warner. The sailor wanted a special command performance by this popular singer, and here he comes now, Harry Babbitt. Harry Babbitt.
I go to sleep, I never count sheep, I count all the charms about Linda. And lately it seems, in all of my dreams, I walk with my arms about Linda. But what good does it do me? For Linda doesn't know I exist. Can't help feeling gloomy. Just think of all the loving I've missed. We pass on the street, my heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, I'd stop her a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky break I'll make Linda mine. My heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, I'd stop her a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky break I'll make Linda, Linda mine.
Great, Harry. Harry Babbitt, thanks a lot. And now for more music, it's
Say, Bill. Bill, I understand Alan Young's going to be on this show.
Alan Young? Yes, that's right. Why?
Well, I've heard his own fine radio program, and I can't help wondering if he's as shy in real life as he is on the air.
Oh, he certainly is. Now, listen, Harry. This afternoon, I picked Alan up at his house to bring him over to our rehearsal. And you should have been with us. As we drove away from the little white house, which shields that young man who's young today and young forever, Alan Young.
Gee, Bill, this is sure a nice car. I wish I had one.
Well, Alan, I guess the aim of every pedestrian is to get a car.
No, no. In California, the aim of every car is to get a pedestrian. Sure wish I had a car.
Well, you can buy one, Alan. They aren't that scarce anymore.
They aren't. I was in Detroit last week. Kaiser was riding Fraser around on a bicycle. Stop in front of this store a minute, will you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. You going to buy something, Alan?
Yes. I was going to impress my girl by getting her a gift, but I hate to ask a sales girl for it. Would you run in and buy it for me?
Well, of course, lad. What did you have in mind?
Well, it's pretty
The personal.
Ah, come on. Just tell me what it is. Well, for the love of Mike, just describe it to me then.
Well, it's something you can see through, and you can either raise them or lower them.
Oh, I see.
Yes. You think they carry Venetian blinds? Or maybe she'd like something more personal.
Well, that's possible, yes. How about a nice fuzzy Angora sweater?
Ah, they're too fuzzy. She might get the wrong idea and think I was doing the tickling.
Alan, I'm sure she'd never suspect you. But I'll tell you, this store carries a wonderful perfume.
What's the name? Hour of Ecstasy? Evening in Paris? Night in Paradise?
No, this one's better yet.
What is it?
Weekend in Kansas City. This perfume's guaranteed to make a girl fall madly in love with the man who sends it to her.
Wonderful, yes. Bill. I'll send her a note with a bottle. I'll just sign it. From every girl's dream man, Cupid's dream boat, the irresistible one who is perfection itself.
You will not.
No, why not?
Alan Young, I'm tired of having beautiful women bust into my house to kiss.
No.
Let's get going, huh?
Bill, we didn't get my girlfriend a present. How can I make an impression on her?
Oh, Alan, it doesn't take gifts. Just act bold the next time you see her.
Act bold, huh?
Yeah, right. On your next date, march into the house and treat her like a tube of toothpaste.
How's that?
Wrap your arms around her and hug her tight. Squeeze her. Tighter. 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 And you know what'll happen?
Sure, she'll squoosh out at top.
Well, Alan, come along. I want to see if you're as shy with girls in real life as you are on your radio program.
Wait, Bill, who lives in this house?
Stop shaking, Alan. It's just someone who's working with us tonight on command performance.
Oh.
A little screen and radio sensation now singing on the Kay Kaiser show. Jane Russell.
Yeah.
Hello, gentlemen. Come in.
Hey.
Come in. I've dreamed of you saying that to me.
You've dreamed of my saying come in to you? But then you know who I am.
Well, I'm sure you're not Richard. Gee, but you're Jane, the great Russell.
Bill, isn't... Bill, isn't he a little backward?
Yeah, this is Alan, the great Bustle. Alan, stop acting like a bashful country boy and speak to Jane. Now, come on, son. Speak. Speak. Speak.
Gosh, Miss Russell, what a beautiful dress you're wearing.
Well, do you like it? It's a 17th century model. It's called a lady-in-waiting gown.
Lady-in-waiting gown?
Uh-huh. Why?
You should have waited for the rest of it.
For shame, Alan. That dress fits her as if she'd been poured into it. Of course, they might have poured in a few jiggers too many. I'm sure. Speak, speak.
I can't. I'm scared. Let's go.
Now, Alan, boy, prove to me that you're not really shy. Ask this beautiful dish for a date.
Okay, Bill. Jane, look here.
Yes?
Yeah. Tell me, would you go to... Read any good books lately?
I don't waste my time reading.
Oh, yeah. Well, could you... Would you... Seen any good movies lately?
I don't waste my time looking at pictures.
Oh, what do you like to do?
Well, I like to sit on the sofa and do some squeezing.
Oh. I make my lemonade in the kitchen. That is...
Yeah, goodness, Alan. You're sadder than any fellow I know.
I am, huh?
Mm-hmm. You really are. Any other fellow asks a girl to go for a ride right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go riding in the moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
And they drive along a shadowy lane. Mm-hmm. And he runs out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Small tank?
Alan. Alan, why must you toy with me? Why must you be so tantalizing, so aloof, so beyond reach? Alan, why don't you unbend? Too much rectitude in your heredity?
Too much starch in my shorts. Jane, I feel I must tell you something, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
I already have a girlfriend.
Well, that's nothing, Alan. Lots of men have a two-car garage.
Well, fellas, I guess you better get going, huh?
Alan, why don't you face facts? I'm a girl and you're a boy.
A likely story.
And do you know why I'm a girl and you're a boy?
We were born in different hospitals? Jane, don't come in so close. No, Jane, please! You're crushing my good conduct, Tim.
Alan, I can't resist you any longer. Hold me, Alan.
Well, all right.
Hold me tighter. 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 Well, Alan, aren't you going to say something?
You got a mighty firm handshake for a girl. I mean is, look, Jane, if you could join me on page 10, then...
All right, if you fellas will excuse me, I'll get my hat and coat, okay?
She's a likable sort of chap.
Yeah. Junior, you're not doing so well, are you?
No, I guess neither of us are.
Well, I tell you, it's all because you're so backward. Now, Alan, when that girl comes back in the room, show some aggressiveness. You face life like a shy, tired, scared, moronic, lifeless old man.
Bill, I'll be aggressive with her.
Good, good. And I'll tell her you're really a world-famous lover. A reputation helps a lot, and we'll see what happens.
Sure, I like that.
Yeah.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Jane, we have a confession to make. Alan's been acting. He's not really as shy as he pretended to be.
He isn't?
How could he be? This is really the world-famous Sir Alan Young, inventor of the famous electric kiss.
Electric kiss? But I don't understand.
Neither do I.
Now, you two can figure it out if you put your heads together.
Put our heads together?
Yeah, just once. Lip to lip.
Lip to lip.
Yes. Now, Sir Alan, demonstrate your powerful electric kiss.
All right. But first, Jane, will you lend me a penny?
Why do you need a penny?
One handy in case you blow a fuse. Now, girl. Well, you shall sample the famous Sir Alan Young hug. Famous throughout England.
Oh, you tested it in England.
My girl, I hugged Lady Westminster so high when it was over, her minister was in the East.
My word.
Now, my pretty, don't shrink away from me or I'll have to get violent with you.
Alan Young, why don't you pick on someone with your own physique?
I'd rather make love to girls. Now I'll give you my superheated osculation.
Wait a minute, Alan. How long have you been using such hot kisses?
Oh, my torrid life, girl. As a child, I gave all the little girls hot kisses. That's why I was known in the neighborhood as Small Fry.
Shall we proceed ahead?
If you insist.
All right. Here we go with the electric kiss. How was that?
Oh, wonderful, Alan. Oh, that kiss sent me soaring into the heights above the universe. It sent me out of this world to a far, distant paradise.
And how are things in Glacamora? So you're thrilled by the electric kiss, eh?
Oh, yes, Alan. What could be more thrilling?
Care for another go at it?
Oh, yes, Alan, darling. If you'd be so kind.
Yeah, I'm feeling generous.
Can you kiss me again?
1 minute. Let's wait for the blister to go down.
Oh, no, dearest. No, kiss me again, I beg you.
Oh, please, it's time for a short rest. One can't get puckered when one's all tuckered.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah?
You've suddenly become so wonderful. How do you do it?
Oh, it's nothing at all. Bill, how do I do it?
Well, Alan, you see this worn-out electric lamp cord?
Yeah.
Each time you kissed her, I held the bare wires against the back of your head.
Oh. Well, we can't do that again. It's too dangerous.
Oh, yeah, liable to ruin a light bulb.
Yeah.
Stop whispering over there. Alan, my dream man, please, you've got to kiss me once more.
Well, it all depends. What's in it for me, huh?
Alan, Wonder Man. You can ask anything of me in the language, in any language. It'll be wee-wee or ya-ya or see-see.
Don't beat about the bush. Let the guy know where he stands. Will you go to a movie with me later on tonight?
Anything, Alan. Yes, anything. Yes, you can take me to a movie.
Then, just a moment, girl.
What is it, Alan?
When a fella takes a girl to the movies, he expects something in return. A girl must pay the price, you know.
Why, Alan.
It'll be 35 cents, please.
Janie Russell comes back with a song for 147 men of the 95th Ordnance in Yokohama. Bill, Artie, Don, Rally, Tom, the million others. I'll take it, Jane.
Thank you, Bill.
Over to the right side of my bread. Get up on the right side of my bed. Baby, 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 no matter what I do, I'm on the wrong side of you. I live on the right side of the street. I dance on the right side of my feet. But baby, 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 no matter what I do, I'm on the wrong side of you. What can I do that I haven't done to make you act like you should? What can it be between you and me? Am I in bed for good? I've shown you my right side, the old man. I'm not on the right side of the track. Cause baby, 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 no matter what I do, I'm on the wrong side of you. I'm on the wrong side, can't get along side of you. And I'm wondering, what can I do? My right side, but old Mac, I'm not on the right side of the track. Cause baby, 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 no matter what I do, I'm on the wrong side, can't get along side, I'm on the wrong side of you.
To business. We have been ordered to do a drama of the Wild and Woolly West. We're all familiar with the West and with farm life, I reckon.
I am, Alan. Did you ever milk a cow?
Sure did, gal. Only trouble was, I was the weakest kid in town. All the other kids used to milk a cow with their fingers.
And you?
Used a nutcracker.
Ladies and gentlemen, by request of T5 Lloyd Mann and his pals, the Command Performance Drama and Chowderhead Society presents a sequel to Duel in the Sun. Our drama is entitled Melted Pistols. Or he couldn't get the lead out. Curtain, music. Howdy, stranger. I'm the new deputy. You seen the sheriff?
I'm a sheriff, stranger.
Well, hello. Didn't recognize you with that brown beard.
This ain't no brown beard. I'm chewing tobacco and ain't learned to let go yet. What's your name?
Tex. That's short for Texas. What's your handle?
COD, short of cash. You'll find I'm a tough sheriff, Tex. I ain't afraid of nothing.
Weren't you scared of nothing even when you was a kid?
Only cows.
Cows?
Well, I didn't know what they was at first. Thought they was horses carrying machine guns.
Well, I tell you, I come from a tough family myself.
Yeah?
Here's a tintype of my cousin Joe. Went over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
Huh?
That's Double Vision Sam lying in the gutter behind him.
Double Vision Sam? Who's yeah. Double Vision Sam?
That's the boy who helped him empty the barrel.
Yeah? Well, loosely, he wasted his time. I come from brave kinfolk, too. In my circus, my uncle used to stick his head in a lion's mouth.
No kidding. Anything happened to him?
Nothing much, except now he never says yes or no. He just shrugs his shoulders. This will make me a cigarette.
Oh, Sheriff, will you roll me a cigarette?
No, yeah, I'm feeling strong today. I'll throw one to you.
Roll me a cigarette. I heard them advertise some factory-made cigarettes on the radio.
Yeah, how do they advertise them?
Like this.
You gonna invest in some of them cigarettes?
No, sir, not me. Not after them factory workers dribble all over them. Well, Sheriff, did we ride off on patrol?
Brother or not, brother or not.
No, brother.
Yeah, my horse is tuckered out. Me and little kid went off with him and rode him all morning. Said he wanted to be like Red Rider.
What'd you do, Sheriff?
I spanked him till his rider was red. Well, what do you say we settle down to a fast game of spit in the bucket? Must be somebody in trouble. Hello.
Sheriff, this is Sioux City Sue, and I just got a threatening note from that desperado Harry Rabbit.
Harry Rabbit?
He threatened to ride off with me and hold me for ransom. Sheriff, are you going to let him hold me for ransom?
Why not? Ransom's a fool if he can't hold his own dames.
Oh, I'm scared, Sheriff. You got to rush right over here right away.
Damn, I'm tired.
It's terrible, Harry Rabbit. He's dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous.
Sheriff, I'm afraid of him.
Yeah, afraid.
Sheriff, honey, you got to be my bodyguard.
Yeah. We'll be right out. Tex, we got to rush to the Sioux City Sioux. I'll leap on my horse. Leap too far. Fire again.
Ah, say, that's a beautiful ride, Sheriff.
Yeah, I wish the horse wouldn't sit so far forward. I got a boil on my neck. He acts up sometimes. Guess it's his breed.
Temperamental, huh?
No, full-blooded Holstein. He got mad at me because this morning I rode off after some rustlers 3 times.
That got 3 alarms, huh?
No, during the critter tied my suspenders to the hitching post. Well, I reckon this is Sue's ranch.
Stop where you are. Stop right where you are.
Gosh, Tex, now there's a right nice, handsome hunk of woman.
Yeah. Broke off at just the right angles, too. Now, madam,
careful, you varmints, careful. I'm dangerous, and I can shoot from the hip.
Don't worry, gal. I'm watching every move you make. Mind if we dismount?
Nah, go ahead, dismount.
Well, thank goodness. Them horses was getting heavy.
I'm a sheriff, ma'am. This yard's my deputy.
This tenderfoot?
Tenderfoot? I'm a hard-riding cowboy, ma'am. A hard-riding cowboy.
I seen you riding. You was hanging off the horse's neck and dragging on the ground.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's mighty hard riding. Mighty hard. I cut a fine figure on a horse, ma'am. I'm tall in the saddle. Tall in the saddle.
Tex, when we rode off, you look kind of squat. How come now you look tall in the saddle?
I'm riding on my bunion. What'd you think? Think I was wearing elevator pants?
Well, now, Skinny, I can believe you're a sheriff because you're carrying a gun on each hip.
Well, these ain't guns. I've been sitting in the saddle so long, the iron in my system lumped up. Sioux City Sue, you sure got a big ranch here.
Yep, I got a nice big spread. No comment.
Hey, listen, fellas. What's that?
Oh, it must be that outlaw Harry Rabbit a-coming to carry me off.
I'm the dreaded outlaw Harry Rabbit. All right, you varmints. Reach, reach.
Now, not that way. Listen, stranger.
Shut up or I'll shoot.
Stranger, I don't understand your language.
I'll fill you full of lead.
Stranger, I don't understand your language. But friend, I understand the translation.
Well,
Scary Rabbit, you don't scare me. I'm tough.
Yeah, tough, eh?
Yeah, tough. See that old horseshoe lying and under that cobweb?
Yeah.
Well, I'll bend it and bust it. That takes care of the cobweb. Now for the shoe.
Ah, Sheriff, there's only one way to settle this. I'll count to three and we'll both shoot. And whoever's left alive gets to grab the girl.
That sounds far and square. Far and square.
Little does he know what a lying scoundrel I am.
Little does he know I know what a lying scoundrel he is.
All right, we'll shoot when I gets to three. He should know what I'm really gonna do.
That's a bargain. Wished I knew what he was really gonna do.
All right, then we're agreed. What I'm really gonna do, I'm gonna shoot when I get to one.
When you get to what?
One.
I'll never knew what hit me. Oh, I'll do it with you, Harry Rabbit. But loaded guns scare me. Mind if I empty my gun first?
Nope, go right ahead.
He makes a great container for bullets. Let's mark him. Keep your city clean.
Congratulations, Sheriff. You got Harry Rabbit.
Yep, and all far and square, too. Far and square. But I got Sioux City Sue to call my own. Come to my arms, gal.
Why, Sheriff, you didn't strike me as a fellow with romantic notions.
Oh, but I am, Sue, I am. We'll ride off into the purple sunset, you and me. And in the foothills, we'll build a little cottage. There'll just be you and me.
At first.
But, Sheriff, you mean that in a few years, perhaps there'll be the pitter-patter of little feet?
Yes, gal.
The sound of little feet pitter-pattering around a cute room done in pink and blue.
Pink and blue? That's silly, gal.
Why?
You know pigs is colorblind.
Very fun, gang. And I'm sorry enough, too. That brings us once more to closing time. Time to thank all these swell people for coming in. That means Harry Babbitt, Alan Young, and Janie the Russell.
And we want to thank all you fellas in hospitals and overseas for asking us in. Right, Jane?
Right, Alan. It's been very flattering, and it was a lot of fun.
Thank you, kids. Good luck, fellas. This is Bill Goodwin. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
October 3rd, 1944, Alan starred in his own show. Now let's listen to Duffy's Tavern Caters a French Dinner, an episode of The Alan Young Show from November 15th, 1946.
The Alan Young Show with our guest tonight, Ed Gardner, Archie of Duffy's Tavern.
Alan Young is here to greet you, everybody, everywhere. Every Friday at this time he comes to say hello, buyer. For a can of Vitalis, two products you should know on the Alan Young, Alan Young, Alan Young Show.
Friday night again, and as usual, we take you to the Little White Cottage in Van Nuys, California, where we find the star of our show, that young man who is young today and young forever, Alan Young.
Zero.
Yeah, Alan?
Zero, hand me that pen and ink. I've got to write another letter to Betty.
That's the fifth letter you wrote today, huh?
That's how it is when the girl you love goes away. I'll read this one here.
Yeah.
Dear Betty, I miss you. I miss you desperately. My life is meaningless without you.
Gee, Alan, you're really suffering. How long has Betty been gone?
Her bus pulls out in 10 minutes. Awful, Zero.
Now, Alan.
You understand, the sun has been blotted out from the sky. The stars have disappeared from the heavens.
Alan, that's not Betty's fault. That's his California weather.
Betty and I have never been separated before. The song has gone out of my life. I'm lost. I feel like Rogers without his Hammerstein. Like Gilbert without his Sullivan. Like Tosk without his ninny.
Why don't you calm down, Alan?
Have you ever gone through agony like this? Did you ever have something very important you suddenly drop right out of your life?
Sure. Last week when I was walking down Main Street, my suspenders broke.
Make things worse, Zero. Before Betty left, she persuaded her father to come here for dinner tonight.
Mr. Dick Pepper's coming here for dinner?
Yeah, so be careful of your manners, will you? I don't want to see you dipping your bread in the gravy again.
Alan, a lot of people dip their bread in the gravy.
In other people's plates?
I'm sorry, Alan.
That's okay, but look, Zero, this is really an important occasion. If I handle this dinner right, I may be able to marry Betty, and Hubert Updike will be out of the picture. That Updike now.
Yeah, Mr. Moneybags.
I saw him doing his Christmas shopping over at the May Company yesterday. He was having a little trouble.
Trouble?
Yeah, he couldn't get them to wrap up the fourth floor.
Look, Alan, I'll see what's in the kitchen for dinner. I can't stand that guy anymore.
Oh, Alan, I'm here. Come gaze at America's answer to the Taj Mahal.
Why don't you come in and sit down?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome.
But really, I couldn't sit down in that chair. The cushion isn't thick enough.
The cushion is 3 inches thick.
I know, but I bruise so easily. Alan, maybe I had better sit down. Alan, I'm frightfully exhausted.
Exhausted?
At breakfast this morning, I had to swallow by myself.
You had to swallow by yourself?
Yes, my butler quit, the one who raises and lowers my Adam's apple.
Is that the one who follows you around with a birdcage when you walk pigeon-toed? But Hubert, I'd like to talk to you, but I haven't got time. I got to prepare dinner. You see, Mr. Dittenpepper is eating with us tonight.
Oh, this is my chance to show you up, Alan.
What do you mean, show me up?
Papa Dittenpepper is dining with me tomorrow night at my estate in Beverly Hills.
Huh?
And I shall serve him a rare delicacy, a kangaroo steak.
Kangaroo steak?
Yes, it comes with the mashed potatoes inside the pouch. And you know I'm also serving chicken in a dish 6 feet deep.
A dish 6 feet deep?
Yes, the chicken will be able to turn over in its gravy. Oh, that was a witty one, yeah.
Please. Hubert, look, I'll feed Mr. Dittenpepper tonight, and you feed him tomorrow night, and may the better man win.
Oh, Mother, dust off the paddles. This man is up the creek.
You don't frighten me, Hubert. I'm the one that's going to win Betty.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Alan. I'm going to win Betty. I'm simply crazy about her.
Hubert, don't make me laugh. Well, you like yourself better than you like Betty.
Well, after all, I'm so much prettier than she is.
I say it again.
again, Hubert. Let the best man win.
Well, that's bully with me, Alan. Just plain bully.
All right. And, Hubert, before you go, let's shake hands on it. Here's my hand.
Well,
Hubert, why won't you shake my hand?
I'm afraid you'll have to boil it first. Well, arawal.
Arawal. You better get busy on this. Zero.
Yeah, what's the matter, Ralph?
Well, it's that Hubert Updike. He's having Mr. Dittenpepper over for dinner tomorrow night.
So what?
So what? Well, if Mr. Dittenpepper likes Hubert's food better than mine, he'll never let me see Betty again.
Hey, Alan, I got an idea.
Yeah?
Why don't we make this a catered affair?
Catered?
Yeah. Have somebody cater the dinner.
That costs a lot of money, Zero. I don't think I have enough.
Well, how much you got?
Let's see. I got a greenback in this pocket and two greenbacks in this pocket. That wet weather brings in more frogs.
Well, look, don't worry, Alan. I know a joint that'll cater a dinner for practically nothing.
Practically nothing? You do?
Yeah.
Then our problems are solved. What's the name of this place?
Duffy's Tavern.
Duffy's Tavern?
Yeah.
Is the food good there, Zero?
Good. Believe me, Alan. Once you eat at Duffy's, you ain't never gonna eat it no place else again.
Sounds like just the things, you know. Let's go over and have Duffy's Tavern cater the dinner.
Oh, okay, Alan. I'll go call a cab, huh? Taxi! Hey, taxi!
Oh, Zero, that's no way to get a cab. Why don't you try whistling?
Oh, I did that once, Mr. Wellington, but all I got was a Cocker Spaniel.
What do you want a cab for, anyway?
Well, Alan and me are going down to Duffy's Tavern.
You mean Alan and I are going to Duffy's Tavern?
Oh, you gonna come along, too?
No, I was speaking dramatically.
What country is that from?
Oh, Zero, it's good English.
Oh.
By using the right words at the right time, we make ourselves clear.
For instance?
Well, for instance, the right word to use when you speak of well-groomed hair is vitalis. Yes, vitalis and the 60-second workout is great for keeping dry, unruly hair under control. For keeping your scalp feeling better, too. That's because Vitalis and the 60-second workout loosens a tight, dry scalp, routs loose dandruff, and helps prevent excessive falling hair. Not only that, there's no patent leather shine on your hair after you use Vitalis. No greasy, plastered-down look. Your hair looks well-groomed in a natural, masculine way. So get a bottle of Vitalis at any drug counter. Remember, if you want to look your best tomorrow, get your bottle of Vitalis tonight.
Hello? Just a second, Duffy. Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me? See, don't you mind just speaking? Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Huh? Well, a guy just gave me a little more rope. Yeah. Well, we got a very nice crowd here tonight. Very high class. Oh, yeah, Second Story Jackson, Machine Gun Van Smite, Dame May Fagan, No-Nose Mulligan, One-Eye Goldfarb, and his daughter Cyclops. Yeah, Duffy, nothing but the carnage trade. Huh? Be sure to keep out all guys with blackjacks. Why, Duffy, they don't hit nobody with them blackjacks. No, they just want to make sure that what they're eating ain't moving. Well, look, I'll talk to you later, Duffy. Looks like a couple of customers are headed this way.
Yeah. Gee, look where we are. This is the outskirts of town, Zero. Look at that off-looking junk pile over there.
Alan, that is Duffy's Tavern.
Gee, it doesn't look like a very high-class place.
Well, come on in, Alan. That ain't a bad joint.
Okay.
Hey, it's Archie the manager. Hi, Arch.
Hello, Diaper.
I tried to drum up some business for you, but I wasn't sure if you did outside catering or not.
Well, Duffy's Tavern prefers to do outside catering. When the customers is away from the joint, it makes it harder to determine the cause of death.
Hey, Alan, come here. Duffy does catering. I want you to meet Archie, the manager. Archie, this is Alan Young.
Hello, Archie.
Hello.
Archie, I've been trying to tell me pal Alan that you served the hoi polloi.
Yeah, but don't worry about it, Alan. We put the hoys at one table and the polloys at the other.
Zero, I don't know if this is quite the right
don't
place.
Don't worry, to... Alan. Talk to Archie. I'm going over to the free lunch counter.
All right. Look, now to get down to the business at hand, Alan, I hear you want the Duffys to cater a dinner at you.
Yes. Well, I tell you the truth, I was expecting a different type of place.
You was expecting a...
Yeah,
perfectionist, huh?
No, but I just noticed those napkins on the table.
What's wrong with them?
Well, in most restaurants, the napkins are made from Irish linen, not cut down from old racing forms.
Well, in other restaurants, don't take bets. Look, I ain't bragging about our clientele here, but it so happens that Edgar Bergen dropped in here yesterday.
Gee, Edgar Bergen, the radio star? That's probably why you had that new sawdust on the floor.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate. Bergen sat McCarthy down a little too close to the meat grinder.
Well, maybe I did get the wrong impression of this place.
Well, of course. You can't find a more elite joint. Do you know that we even used to have finger bowls at the tables?
Really?
Yeah, but our female customers began taking advantage of it, you know. They started luxing their undies. By the way, that reminds me, leave us make up a menu for your dinner.
Yeah, well, is everything a la carte?
A la carte? Well, we prefer to deliver in a truck. But, however, we bow to the wishes of our customers.
Yeah. Well, what would you suggest as a main course?
Main course? Well, maybe you would like strictly an American dish, like enchiladas.
Well, no enchiladas. They're too hot. I tried them once when I was 9 years old.
Kind of hot, huh?
Yeah, I'll never forget. I kissed the little girl next door and melted the braces off her teeth. Must have been the enchiladas. I know it wasn't me.
Maybe you just happened to run into a cold cucaracha. Now, look, what else could we give you? How about some of this ham?
Ham? Is it cured?
Mr. Young, leave us not pry into its personal habits.
Archie, I've got to go with Dittenpeppers now. And remember, I'd like to have dinner served at 7:30 tonight.
Okay, it'll be there.
Well, I better shut the door quick. I'm letting all the flies out. See you later, Archie. Hope Mr. D is feeling good today. Oh, Margie. I'm always thinking of you, Margie. Da-ya-da-da-da-da. Oh, hello, Mr. Dittenpepper.
Yeah.
That's me, Mr. Dittenpepper, Alan Young.
My, what the rainy season washes to the surface. I thought I wouldn't see you around here now that Betty's away.
Oh, I didn't come to see Betty, Mr. Dittenpepper. I came over to talk to you about dinner tonight.
Oh, yes. Betty told me before she left that I was eating dinner at your place tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I prefer the Ritz.
I'll serve any kind of crackers you want.
No, I meant the Ritz Plaza. I like someplace with a hostess.
I'll serve any kind of cupcakes, too.
Oh, Alan, you're hopeless.
Mr. Dittenpepper, why do you say things like that at me? I'm an average young fella. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I don't know what 903 means.
All right, Alan, what time is dinner?
7:30, Mr. Dean. I'll see you later. Oh, look, there's somebody coming up your walk. You're getting company.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's Mamselle Yvette.
Mamselle Yvette?
Yeah, the Paris fashion expert. I'm planning a big investment. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get her to feature her styles in my department store. She's French, you know, from northern France.
Yeah, I could tell by that rugged coastline. You
could. She must have just arrived. Oh, and look how I'm dressed. I need a shave and... Oh, I'd better put on a tie. Alan, you talk to her. I'll be down in a few minutes.
But Mr. Dittenpepper...
Alan, this is very important for my department store. Now, keep her happy. Do anything she wants.
Yeah.
I'll be down as soon as I can.
Yes, Mr. Dittenpepper. She... Yes?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought this house, it was Monsieur Dittenpepper.
It was. I mean, it is. Won't you come in?
Oui, oui.
Oui, yes. Mr. Dittenpepper will be down in a few minutes. Won't you sit down?
Merci.
Merci. You're from Paris, aren't you?
Oui, oui.
Oui. I understand you're a fashion designer.
Ah, mais oui. I designed women's dresses, like the one I'm wearing. I designed this in Paris.
Oh, you did?
Oui. I cut this out on the other side.
Ah, you didn't leave much on this side, either.
Oh, chérie, you do not like my gown.
No, it isn't that. It's just that strapless gowns confuse me.
They confuse you?
Yeah, I can never tell if it's a skirt that crept up too high or a sweater that slid down too low.
Oh, you American man, you have such a sense of humor. And you are so young and handsome. Chérie, come sit down here next to me on the sofa.
No.
Come on, sit next to me.
No.
Come on. Chérie.
Well, okay, for Mr. Dittenpepper's sake.
Oh, chérie, must you sit so far away?
Well, I'm not so far away. I'm not far away. I can still see you if I squint.
Oh, Monty. Monty Bonbon, Yvette will move closer to you. In France, love is what makes the world go round.
In America, we have scotch and soda. Look, Yvette.
Oh, mon chéri, do not be afraid.
I'm not afraid, but I think...
After all, love is just a game of chance, like roulette.
Well, don't spin your wheel around here. Yvette, I'm just trying to keep you company until Mr. Dittenpepper comes down.
You American men, you are so reserved, so shy. With the men in France, it's amour, toujours amour.
Really?
In this country, amour is not important.
Well, it's almost as big a company as Swift. It's only fair to tell you, I have a girlfriend.
So what? Many businesses, they have a branch office.
You mean, in France, fellows go out with more than one girl?
Mais oui.
Nobody seems to mind?
Mais oui.
That's just how things are, huh?
Mais oui. We shall sit closer now.
We may. I mean, Mr. Dittenpepper will be down here in a minute. Besides, I couldn't do this to Betty.
Oh, you American man and your girlfriend.
Well, well, Mademoiselle Yvette, am I glad to see you.
Oh, Monsieur Dittenpepper, the pleasure is all mine.
I've got the check ready, and I'm most anxious to close our business deal.
Oh, you have the check. Oh, very good.
Pardon me a moment, Mademoiselle. I'd like to speak to Alan privately.
Oh, certainement, monsieur.
Oh, Alan.
Certainement. Yes, Mr. Dittenpepper.
Alan, you can do something for me now that'll make me your friend. Mademoiselle Yvette can give me all the advanced fashions from my department store. So she can join us tonight at dinner, and we can impress
her. Sure, bring her along.
There's only one thing. Now, to make her feel at home, I want you to make sure that you have French cooking.
Oh, sure, French cooking.
Oh, you were planning on having French cooking?
French, yes. It's quite a coincidence, yes. The whole dinner is being prepared by a French...
Oh. Why, that's fine, my boy. Who's arranging the meal? Henri of the Maison Bleu?
No, by Archer of Duffy's Tavern.
Friends, has this ever happened to you? You wake up in the morning, then you go in and brush your teeth, you have to glance at your toothbrush, and you find a tinge of pink. Not a very pleasant thing to happen, is it? And yet pink toothbrush can happen to anyone.
But, Mr. Wallington, what did you do when it happens?
Well, you see your dentist immediately. Let him decide whether it's serious or if it's simply a case of today's soft, creamy foods depriving your gums of the exercise they need. If that's the case, chances are he'll recommend the helpful stimulation of Ipana and gum massage.
A national survey shows that 7 out of 10 dentists recommend gum massage. Not only that, but dentists themselves prefer Ipana toothpaste 2-to-1 over any other dentifrice for their own personal use.
So why don't you start right away with Ipana toothpaste and gum massage? Remember, firm, healthy gums mean sounder, brighter teeth. And that all adds up to a more sparkling smile for you. Just ask for Ipana. And now a bow to our guest as the smart set sing Archie's Little Love Song.
If it's Sunday night and you're out with your fella, you've tried dynamite but you can't make a mella, sing this tune and by Monday noon, he'll be turned right into jello. Apache's little love song. Ooh, that's the way to bill and coo. Archie's little love song. Ooh, funny little words meaning I love you.
Poets and peasants and carpenters too.
He is struck by Cupid's dart. So sing Archie's little love song. Ooh, and leave it tear your heart apart.
Don't mean your liver.
Leave it tear your heart apart. Archie's little love song. That's the way to bill and coo. Archie's little love song. Those funny little words meaning I love you. Poets and peasants and carpenters too. Is struck by Cupid's dart. So sing Archie's little love song. Ooh, and leave it tear your heart apart. Singing Archie's little love song.
Alan has hired Archie of Duffy's Tavern to cater his dinner. And he's also promised Mr. Dittenpepper that there'll be French cooking. The two hardly seem to go together. But let's look in on Alan and Zero as they await the historic feast.
Well, Zero, we're all dressed for dinner. Gee, I wonder how Archie's making out in the kitchen.
Alan, don't worry about Archie. I told him he has to be a French chef tonight, just like you said.
You sure he knows about French cooking?
Well, Archie can do anything. He promised me the whole dinner would be French style. All French.
Oh, that's fine.
And by the way, Alan.
Yeah?
What's smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord?
Yeah.
I told him specifically French cooking, not Mexican. Oh, that's Swedish. Oh, probably kidding you, Zero,
yeah.
I guess. Ooh, that must be them now. I'll let them in.
I'll go help.
Okay. Oh, Margie, I'm always thinking of you, Margie. Gee. Oh, hello, Mr. Dittenpepper. Hello, Mademoiselle Yvette. Won't you come in?
Thank you, Alan, my boy.
Ah, mon chéri, what a cute little cottage you have here.
Thank you.
Oh, but it is so masculine. Oh, well, someday you will have a woman's hand around the house.
When I get married, it'll be to a whole girl or nothing.
He is so cute, no?
Alan, this is a special occasion. I brought over a bottle of champagne.
Oh, la la, champagne.
That's the bubbly stuff.
Oh, mais oui, in France, if you like someone, you drink the champagne from their slipper.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, mon chéri?
You want to sit around in soggy shoes all night?
Alan. Alan, I hope you got the French chef.
Oh, oui, oui. I mean, yes, Mr. Dittenpepper. In fact, my French chef will probably announce dinner at any moment.
Well, come vous and grab a grub.
What was that?
I will translate. The come, she means come. The grebe, she means grab. And what the grub means, you'll find out the hard way.
Well, let's all sit down at the table.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Well, that's fine, because we have a wonderful French meal prepared. Right, Arche?
Oh, moi-si, moi-si. Yes. the beautiful French dishes. Bully base, ox coupons, patty de popa, poulet charles, that's chicken with the gallbladder. Oh, delicious. And cherche la femmes with the avocados. And the beautiful caviar.
French caviar?
The fish, he take a wrong turn on the Volga.
You'll have to excuse Arche. He generally serves the royalty.
Yes, but we take care of the pheasants, too. But this is such a small party, I do not like serving just two monsieurs and one female sour.
Puzzled by this cook. Is he really French?
Madame, I am French from the ground up.
But the way you talk.
That is the ground up version.
Of course he's French. After all, I should know. one Frenchman should know another.
Oh, mon chéri, I did not know you were part French.
Oh, part. Well, it isn't much. It's my great-great-grandfather, my father's side. He was the one.
He was born in France?
No, but he always wore Paris garters.
Well, let's stop all this talk and eat. I'm pretty hungry.
Mais oui, but I cannot help thinking this chef is not French.
Now, listen here, Fräulein.
Natural mistake. Archer was born right on the border. Shall we go on with the dinner?
I am still puzzled by this man. Let me speak to him. Monsieur, comment ça va aujourd'hui? Asseyez-vous donc, s'il vous plaît. J'espère que vous ne me prenez pas stupide, mais je voudrais une portion de pommes frites.
Parlez-vous français?
So you were born in France, eh?
Oh, si, si.
Rue de la Paix?
Know him very well. In fact, we are serving him for the main dish tonight. Excusez-moi, I have to go to the cuisine.
Oh, this chef is so droll. Monsieur Dittenpepper, I have made up my mind. I shall give all my creations to your department store.
Wonderful, mademoiselle. And as a deposit, here's my check for $5,000.
Oh, merci beaucoup.
Now, before we start eating, I'd like to propose a toast to Mademoiselle Yvette's creations and their success in the Dittenpepper department store.
Oh, I will drink to that.
Ellen, would you like to join us?
Huh? Oh, yes, Mr. Dittenpepper.
Well, here's the bourbon.
Thanks. Mind if I have a chaser?
Here you are.
Yeah. Well, that takes care of the chaser.
This is such a delightful evening. Monsieur Dittenpepper, I think our partnership will be a great success.
Well, that's fine, just fine.
Okay, monsieurs, here is the soup du jour. Clam chowder.
Clam chowder?
Boy, smell that Boston chowder.
What are you talking? It's Coney Island chowder.
How do you know?
I don't know. I lived in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
A lunchman.
So, Mademoiselle Yvette, huh? You're nothing but a faker. Paris styles. Give me back my check.
Okay, so here's your check. Can I help it if I'm a sucker for clam chowder?
That's dumb, kid. Come on, leave us. Get out of here and get back to Ebbets Field. I'd like to show a dame like you how to get to first base.
Talking, big boy. See you later, Pop.
Ellen, my boy, you've saved the Dittenpepper department store a fortune. You can have anything you want.
Anything I want? Can I get engaged to Betty?
Yes, sir. I'll go along with you on that.
And Betty and I can get married?
I'll go along with you on that, too.
And can Betty and I spend our honeymoon at Niagara Falls?
I'll go along
with... No, no, end of the line!
We'll be back in a minute. If you're suffering from a cold, with all the annoying sneezes and sniffles, get quick relief from your cold discomfort with Minute Rub, a really modern chest rub. Just rub Minute Rub on the throat, chest, and back. In a minute, Minute Rub's soothing menthol vapors begin to clear that stuffed up feeling in the nose and throat. In a minute, Minute Rub starts to bring a feeling of warmth and relief to those tight, sore, aching muscles. And listen, here at last is a chest rub that's greaseless and stainless. Disappears like vanishing cream and can't stain clothes and bed linens. So get a tube of Minute Rub and get relief from that annoying cold misery the modern way. The greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way. And now, here's Alan Young.
Thanks, Jimmy. And Ed Gardner, I'd like to say more than thanks to you for being with us tonight. Friends, during the week, please remember the two fine products that bring you this show, Ipana for the smile of beauty and Vitalis for well-groomed hair. Ipana, Vitalis. Until next weekend, this is Alan Young saying good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
To my knowledge, with the passing of Alan Young, all the stars of old-time radio have passed away. Alan Young was 96. I hope you enjoyed our tribute to Alan Young, and will join us next time for more great old-time radio here on the RTC Weekly Download. Until then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.